Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And before...
Sorry.
Before we get started, please don't forget to share, like, and subscribe to our content. And don't forget to turn on notifications.
And today we have a very special guest, Miss Ali Drummond. So everyone said hi for whoever's on the chat. I don't have my computer today. I'm sorry. I don't think I'll be able to go back and forth from this, but... Ali,
yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited. We are excited.
Ali, I found Ali last year when I saw you go viral on TikTok through Pearl. I didn't know you or Pearl, but then I saw the video and I was like, this girl's awesome. And then I recognized the video was in Miami and I could recognize that it was a Publix where I used to shop at when I lived in Brickell. And I was like, these girls are in Miami.
Yeah.
So the whole time I thought you were here and I was like, oh, God, I gotta connect with this girl.
They're
She's awesome. They're locals, but they're not locals. So, Ali, if you want to introduce yourself to our audience real quick, that'd be great.
Hi, I'm Ali Drummond. I have a YouTube channel at Real Femme Sapien. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram by the same handle. I'm mostly trying to bring back the nuclear family and the extended family. I talk about a wide range of topics in order to address that. So you'll see me hop from politics to traditional stuff to sometimes Christian things. So kind of go back and forth over there on my channel. But I think that's kind of what people like about my channel. And I also really like your channel.
Thank you.
Yes. And I would support it. I mean, I'll share anything. Just tag me. It's fine.
Well, it was thanks to you that we got really a bunch of people over to our channel. So Ali's followers, thank you so much. We really appreciate
it. And I think we've fallen into Ali's algorithm to some degree.
Like,
we're on the right algo. Angel, can you play for us the video that made Ali go viral and made her
Hey Ali, show me your ring.
You will.
Oh, here.
Now tell me what you do for a living.
Oh, I love my husband.
And how did you get that awesome job?
Well, I became a better human being, and I became feminine, and also, shocking, submissive. So, that was the secret.
So, what are your tips to women that want to be a housewife?
To embrace it. It's an actual job. You just can't get it in the public or private sector. Like, you need a man to hire you for it, but that's okay. Because if you think about it, you submit to your boss, who makes you clean stupid shelves at your retail job, right? Like, wouldn't it be better if you were cleaning your own shelves at home? You know what I mean? And your boss wants to sleep with you in a good way. In a good way.
And where do you meet these men?
Well, I think women should work for the men that they want to pursue. I know that sounds crazy, but it's really easy. So if you think about it, like, you want a lawyer, right? So then you should be a paralegal. Or if you want a dentist, then you should be a dental hygienist. But these are considered, I guess, high value status professions. But I think that's a really good model that not enough women utilize. Because women will bully the woman who is the secretary that married the doctor, okay? But who has the last laugh? Like, her in her McMansion with her husband who's hot and the baby. Like, that's who has the last laugh.
So is that it?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh no, because it's still playing. Is it gone?
Yeah. Because it's just playing on our screen.
Sorry.
It's got a lag. I noticed on the last episode that we were like waiting for the video to end. So there's like this awkward pause.
No. Yeah, I saw it too when I was like clicking it. But so that is the video that I saw. That is what made Ali go viral on TikTok. You're now banned, right? From TikTok. No more TikTok. What happened?
Oh, I didn't get banned. Pearl got banned.
Pearl got banned.
But okay. I mean, you know, I felt like that was coming, right?
Okay.
For those of you that are unfamiliar, TikTok is fairly misandrist, feminist, and leftist, but only in America. I feel like it's different algorithms in different countries. So that account that I went viral on, it's crazy to think about because she had 900,000 followers on TikTok, and now it's just gone. So yeah, I mean, going viral is pretty happenstance. There has to be nothing in the news cycle. I wasn't even trying to go viral. Because if you look, like, I'm actually really uncomfortable. Because Pearl's very much like, do this thing. I'm like, okay, I'll do the thing. And
so it was improvised. Like, it was like kind of like in the moment.
Yeah, those are my real answers. If you were to sit down and ask me what I did to become a wife, those would be all of my answers.
Okay.
Was this always like your line of thinking, or was there like a transition in your life where you're like this old way of being, you know, were you at any point the standard Western woman?
Right, yeah. Because I do know, obviously, like I follow you, I see your stuff. Mm-hmm. I know that you were married before you got divorced, and obviously things change. I also saw you were in the Army.
Yeah, right? It was. Yeah.
You were deployed, I think.
Yeah.
So tell us about like the before Real Femme Sabian.
Okay. Gosh. Well, I'll try to TLDR it to the best of my abilities. So I grew up in Central Florida. I was born in Orlando. Grew up in Kissimmee. Y'all know. Kissimmee's ghetto. So if anybody is unfamiliar, yes. So Disney is located in the hood. Just fun fact. I don't know why they would put it there. If you go and stay with Disney, you'll see that a lot of the staff is either Latin or Filipino. There you go.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of Puerto Ricans.
The property was cheap.
Yeah, I'm Puerto Rican.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so that's where Puerto Ricans are at, is in Kissimmee. So I grew up in a lower socioeconomic status, single mother home. I think that it was one of those things where my grandparents came from the island, mm-hmm. and then their children got Americanized pretty quickly,
okay.
in being in New York City. So I wasn't really taught much about wifeliness. I would say my mom, she's married now, remarried. And then my aunts, both of them are unmarried. Both of them are divorced. My grandmother, she's in a relationship with my grandfather still to this day. So she's the only real model of femininity that I have. And I don't really fault my mom or anything like that. I just don't think she had the tools to teach me wifeliness.
Right.
So I didn't like where I was growing up. I felt like it was a dead end situation as a bunch of friends, basically just, you know, effing around all the time, no vision for the future. But I wanted something better for myself. I had a hard time adjusting to college, so I ended up joining the military because I got a B in undergrad at UCF. Okay. So I just got my first B, and I freaked out. And I was like, well, if I don't know what I want to do with my life, then Uncle Sam can decide. So I went and I did that. I ended up getting into a marriage, but not necessarily, it wasn't my intent. It was one of those things where you meet somebody and you get married just because you're in the military.
Okay, I've heard a lot about those,
yeah.
especially because it's more convenient and mm-hmm. they can, right, then they help you out with like a house and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I like to live my life high risk, high reward. Sometimes I get some dubs and sometimes I get some L's. I would say like the first marriage is kind of an L, you know?
Yeah.
And we ended up getting married because we had orders to do two different duty stations. Mm. This person was stationed across the country, and then I was stationed in the Midwest. So the way that you get around that so you can live together is to get married. And it was double proxy in the mail. It wasn't even in person. But it was just to see, like, could I do this thing? Could I make it work? Just because I just wanted to be a wife, right? I didn't think much about who I was picking. And they weren't a bad person or anything like that. But these are the lessons that I had to learn myself because my mom didn't have the tools to give me.
Right.
So I ended up getting divorced and having like this really weird moment. I'm like, I think it's me. Like, I think I'm picking the bad situations. I think that I don't understand romance, men, marriage. I started researching feminine content on Instagram. It's just crazy to think about it. Like, I learned how to be a wife from the internet. Like, seriously, real talk. But I'd
so
rather.
There are ups. Good things about the internet.
There is a balance.
Yeah, because people shit on the internet all the time. Like, there was no social media, and this is bad, and TikTok, and all these things. And there's like, it's a tool, right? So mm-hmm. in your case, for example, you were able to, you know, seek something that you were looking for mm-hmm. and you found it.
Yeah. Instagram has a huge feminine community. They also have a huge Christian feminine community.
Me too.
So that kind of started. My husband didn't even know that he wanted more traditional values in the relationship either. He had dated boss babes, right? Also been played by some boss babes, but he's an ex-player, so it's like, you know, all fair in love and war. Like, he got burnt back, whatever. So we ended up getting together and thinking, wow, this modern stuff is pretty whack. Maybe we should try something different. So we got into, you know, maybe I need to quit my job and be a homemaker. And that was when we were engaged. And I quit my job to see, like, can I actually...
So was that a decision that you two made together to kind of step into this more traditional lifestyle?
Yeah. Wait,
you worked for your husband, right?
Yeah, like years ago.
Okay, years ago. So you knew him from before.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? You didn't work there anymore, or is that when you guys got together?
No, so I got divorced, right? Okay. And I was like, suddenly you appear to be very handsome. and I ended up kind of approaching him. There wasn't anybody else I was thinking of, because I know people are like, oh, you know, take your time to heal your heart. But some marriages are dead for a long time before they're over. I'm sure you guys know friends where it's like,
yeah,
I'm glad you guys got divorced like year five, but we really know this thing was over by year two. Mm-hmm. So that was my situation. It was just done, dead and gone long ago. And I ended up going through with that, ended up starting to date my husband now. And we had that conversation about, well, maybe we should try out some of this traditional stuff. He wasn't used to it either. He knew in his mind, he said that any woman that's with him, she didn't have to work.
Okay.
Right. And I just felt like he wanted a certain level of care, a certain level of intimacy that couldn't be facilitated necessarily with me working a full-time job, which is true. And I'm pregnant right now. So it all worked out in the end. So I ended up staying home. I literally had to learn how to like cook for a man. I knew how to.
Okay.
I had an idea, but it's not just cooking for a man. It's cooking things the way that he likes it, and then learning how to structure your day and then what to do with the free time. So I went full abuela basically, and that's pretty much it. Now I'm married and pregnant. Yeah.
Nice. Very, very nice.
Have you ever read like that Good Housekeeping article that went viral from like the 1950s, which are like all of these steps to like how to be a good wife? And it's like, you know, you have to be like prim and proper by the time that your husband gets the home. The house has to be clean, rules, all of these other things. I feel like Ali personifies that. Like she's like using that as a checklist to life. Like,
yeah, but it's good that her story, you know, it's out there because there is like there are a lot. Obviously, our society overall, men and women are broken, and there's not a lot of this type of, I guess you say, push in the mainstream culture for traditionalism. So it's good that these stories get out because, by the way, I've seen a lot more girls, especially on TikTok, have the same type of content more than anything. In the past, I'd say like 3 weeks, I've seen these girls on their way to work. I should have actually brought this up today, but whatever. And the girls like, I can't lie. And she's dressed like in a, you know, in like a suit. Like she's like, I'm on my way to corporate. She's like, I don't want to do this corporate shit anymore. Like, I just want to be home. I just want to be soft. That's the whole thing. I want to have a soft life. And she's like, I'm about to like cry. And there's so many girls. So I go to the comments and I'm like, let me see what the girls are saying. And like, there's so many girls in the comments with the same exact mentality. Yeah. Like, I'm tired of the corporate life. I hate it.
What do you think, you know, has like brought us to this mentality where like the majority of Western women think that there is some kind of payout in that lifestyle, right? Of like taking on this like male dominant role of either being the lead financially in a household or, you know, in so many cases that we see, like women are trying to like emotionally lead relationships, like in mentally lead relationships in every capacity.
Right.
Like, do you feel like somewhere along the way, like with everything else, we were psyoped into thinking that that was...
Everything is a psyop.
Everything like, is a psyop. Everything is 5G warfare.
We'll let her answer that. But before we go on, just a big shout out to Adam, who's always here, always helping us. Thank you so much for the super chat, Adam. You are amazing.
He says, MLP, anti-feminist additions. Yes, each of you ladies are truly fantastic and offer so very much. We in the patriarchy all love you. And we love the patriarchy.
And also our friends, Hablando Como Los Locos. Ladies, we haven't seen you in a while.
Hoy sí, a tiempo, dice.
They're the best. They're so sweet. Thank you guys for being here today and with our special guests. So we'll move on. So Ali, what do you think you're... To what Bella said, what do you think? Why do you think, especially here, by the way, this is not the case in Colombia. And I want to talk about that after because we had a lot of side conversations when I was there about like the roles and women in Christianity, all these things. But why do you think that is? You know, that here, especially in the U.S., women kind of take that role.
I would say... It's feminism and capitalism, but it's hard to tell what comes first with that.
I don't want to be like a socialist, but it is true, right?
No, it's true. Women were given economic mobility. I can't decide if feminism was all bad or not, because I think at its basis, feminism has always been a female supremacy movement. But if women got economic autonomy and mobility through feminism, then I can't say that it's all bad.
Right.
But if it was men that understood women need economic autonomy and they made that happen for us, then I could say that completely feminism was bad, because it was men that cared for us, that enabled us to have this kind of the ability to climb upward. Because there were women that were born so poor, they didn't even get to get married or have kids. Like, you have to think, we live in very, very comfortable times. So women, I want to say, as far back, it's kind of early though, as far back, if you want to go into the late 1800s, early 1900s, there were women that were born so poor that they couldn't get married because marriage would imply children, which could imply economic ruin, Right. So there's women who just never got to have kids. There were also women who they couldn't receive access to education. And so if their husband passed away and they became a widow and they had all kinds of babies, because this would be before birth control, they would have to go work in poorhouses. London is well known for that kind of circumstance where those workhouses are not glamorous at all. Like, the whole Annie movie is a lie. There's many abuses that happened in there. So I think that we're experiencing some unintended consequences from feminism, because I don't think it was the intention for us to supersede men entirely. Right. And if it was the intention of the movement, then, I mean, obviously that would be satanic and demonic. I just don't know enough.
Right? Because yeah. I always put on the aluminum foil hat. So, like, my theory is there was a lot, you know, we hear a lot of, like, the big, like, old family names of our rulers and lizard people that rule over us for some time, right? And the Rothschilds have had a hand in manipulating our education system for probably, like, the last 3 centuries. Like, it's been a really long time. So part of an ongoing theory is that it was to their benefit, and we're not talking about first wave feminism, right, where we're talking about women getting the right to vote. We can all agree that that was that's a good thing. Well, I think on most days we can all agree that that's a good thing. Some days you really gotta ask yourself.
Ask if anybody should have the right to vote.
Like, should there be some kind? But that part of the of them boosting the feminist movement was a way of being able to manipulate education further. Mm-hmm. If you had women at work, they had to give their children over to the public school system. Oh. By giving their children over to the public school system, now they have more control over indoctrination, while at the same time reaping the benefits of this whole new added demographic into the workforce, paying taxes into the system, being consumers. So I tend to lean towards that when you see how perverse the idea of feminism has become and how disconnected it's become from femininity as a whole, right? Like, was there all, and when you look at the control over children right now, the complete degeneracy of the public school system, you have to wonder if it is, if there wasn't an alternative, if you will, you know, idea behind it, where if we take moms, put them into the workforce, they have less time to focus on their kids. Yeah. And now the public school system, by having more control over these children, can now start mind warping these kids.
Turn them into Marxist militants. Turn them into Marxist militants. That's basically what's going on. So I think it's also, if I'm not mistaken, like I've read this stuff on Instagram through like the Red Pill pages, where they talk about that taking the women you know, taking the women out of the home for all these cultural things, yes, but also you get to, what is it, like, people are asking for higher salaries or whatever, but how can men have higher salaries if there's more people in the workforce?
Oh, it makes the job marketplace more competitive for men.
Correct. So
yeah. So everyone, like, has a harder time working.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, okay, sure, like, you guys get to have rights, but it's not that both of you are making more money or anything like that. It's that now you're splitting. There's more people in the marketplace, so then there's, like, lower salaries. You know, I saw the opposite at home. So my mom was, like, a super, super housewife. She's, like, the super housewife.
Okay.
Like, she, like, loves, you know, cooking for her man. She's really, like, she was a single mom, so she, you know, had, like, a stepdad and whatnot, but... she's always been like a super traditional,
like, cater to,
right,
your,
like,
man,
really, and... really, and she loves it. Like, you know how, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. They're like, oh, women have no purpose if they stay home. Like, they have no purpose. Like, they're just, you know, they become depressed. That's why so many women drink wine and And I'm like, dude, I've never seen my mom like ask herself, what is my purpose? You know, like, oh, I'm so bored. Like, I'm so depressed. I've never seen her do that. Like, she's like, no, seriously. Like, she's like really happy, like attending to her man and like feeding her cats, you know, whatever, like doing her little things, her animals. And she lives a really comfortable life. However, I do have to say that because she was a single mom, you know, unfortunate circumstances, my parents just couldn't, like, you know, be together. She was very much like, you gotta go to school. You gotta go to school. Yeah. You gotta go to school. You know, like, you have to do better for yourself. You know, you gotta get a job at some point. I remember when I was in middle school, she even mentioned, and we had just moved here a couple years back, and she's like, You know, because when you're an immigrant, it's kind of like you don't have a lot of money. You don't mm-hmm. have a lot of things. So they're like the military. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, I'm not going to the military. Are you crazy? I was like, would never. I would never. I'm yeah. like, to me, the military has always been like a man's thing. And like, I would prefer if yeah. it was literally just men. Like, I'm sorry. I don't want to. Like, I just. It's no, you're right. Absolutely. It's me. Like, I would literally gut out all the women. But that's another conversation. And I was like, me, a woman in the military, like, that's disgusting. Mm-hmm. So you had a huge fight about that. And she's like, well, you're just going to have to get a scholarship if you want to go to college, because we don't have that mm-hmm. type of money. And I said, okay. And I did. I mean, I did amazing and stuff like that. So, but then it led me to pursue a corporate career. Right. Which I didn't want after I was like 26, 27. I'm like, I hate this. Like, I loved it for a very long time. I had the perfect job, perfect situation. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say, and I think we talked about this today or the other day, that and you talked about that, like, men and women in the workplace is just like it's just like.
No,
it's just not a thing.
It just doesn't work. Yeah. Did you know?
It just doesn't work.
So women report men for offenses uh-huh. in the workplace like 19 times more in comparison to men reporting women. And I honestly think it's just because men talk differently at work. I feel it too, because sometimes I will be in the red pill space. I think my audience that's here knows that, just because I think it's helpful if you go down the rabbit hole about masculinity. I think it can be helpful. People are just lazy. They don't research. So just going based off of that, I would say that you can't help but create more problems with this co-ed environment.
Right.
And in the military too, when I showed up in my unit, the men were scared to talk around me. And I had to tell them, because I was the second woman to show up in my platoon. The first one came 2 weeks before me. I was supposed to be first. Mm-hmm. And I was in a combat arms unit, and which was it was cavalry. And then I was a medic. So a combat medic specialist is what they called it, which we'll talk about that later. These fools lied to me. Like, if I could pick up a 6 foot man. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I had to tell them, you guys can talk how you want to talk in front of me. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to yeah. say anything. The men in the room, they breathed in and they were like, okay, cool. And then they started really talking. Right. So I've learned to adjust to how men talk, but still,
that
even
I blush. Shouldn't be the case. Right.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, why? Like, if women wouldn't be in that environment, then men wouldn't have to then like start mentally programming themselves to not be gentlemen around women, but because they're in this co-ed environment, yeah. then they're not free to act as just yeah. men as they yeah. would. And even then, if they feel like, okay, well, you know, Ali's one of us. Ali's one of the guys. We can do that in front of Ali. Mm-hmm. There's still a precedence being set where now it's almost like a level of desensitized
to like a
having
chat.
A certain respect
like,
around
yeah.
women.
You have a girl's it chat, is. You know?
Like, you know what I would
like,
never
you don't
do?
Want your boy, the boys in the
you know what
chat?
I would never yeah, I do? Walk into a men's barbershop. You could not pay yeah, me yeah, to walk real. Into a man's barbershop and like hang out there, because I understand yeah. that space is sacred for yeah. men. Yeah. So like in my case, it's like, I don't care if I know all of the people there or whatnot. Like, I feel like as a woman, I'm invading that man's like space mm-hmm. to be like raunchy and nasty and gross and do like their men yeah. thing without having to worry that there's like a female yeah. presence there.
Yeah.
Do you think, cause like just hearing like, I grew up the same way, right? Like right. my mom's like, you know, you have to be independent. You right. can't depend on any man. You can't, like, my parents were also divorced when I was much younger. So I almost wonder, is there, like, a form of, like, generational trauma in there mm-hmm. where you're being more set up for survival than to take on right. this traditional submissive yeah, role as a female, right? Like, mm-hmm. from so as far back as like, I could remember, my
like,
mom
like, I don't
always
ever
do that.
Recall a moment in my early 20s when mm-hmm. I started my corporate career where I was like, there was never a conscious effort of me being like, because I just gotta be better than a man and like, fuck, like, it was never... Uh-huh. I don't ever remember it being a competition with men or against men or to be better than them. Mm-hmm. It was more of like she said, like, this is what you have to do because yeah. I didn't do this, but your mom is telling you to do this because yeah. she knows better, right? Like, you're not like, exactly, like, you're not going in there to like, and at the end of the day, like, mm-hmm. you know, I have to provide for her too. So it's like, yeah. of course I have to do better because I, you know, she's eventually going to be dependent on me. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, when my years in corporate, I was also in the alcohol industry, which
oh,
is like
okay.
men. Mm-hmm. It's literally 70%
men. Do you feel like being
men.
A woman and then a good looking woman at that, like within that space gave you an edge? Like, was it an advantage or a disadvantage?
It's both. It's like what we talked about. It's like the pretty girl curse. There's a girl also going on viral on TikTok because of this. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's like literally like she read my mind. It's both because obviously they hire women like a lot of and I remember when I first started with Heineken, they were talking about hiring more women. And it was like, we got to bring more women. Why? Because to corporate, to the wokes, it kind of looked bad that the sales team were mostly men, right? Mm-hmm. So I was the only girl on all of South Florida that I was the only female in the South Florida team in the sales team, right? Mm-hmm. So my boss, my coworkers, everybody around me was a male. And I do know that my boss, part of the reason why he hired me was because I was in Miami. I was a Latina. I fit the role. I was easier on the guys. When you go and call on, when you do sales calls or whatever, like if you're going to like live, right? Like mm-hmm. who's taking you in? Who's taking your orders? A male, right? Mm-hmm. Go to the Fontainebleau, talk to the food and beverage guy. It's a male. Mm-hmm, right. The W Hotel. I mean, literally like 90% of the people were males. Mm-hmm. So a woman may be a little bit easier on the eyes or whatever, mm-hmm. but there's also then the downside of that. The downside of that is you do have males who want to pursue or like have, you know, they want to have sex with you. So they are, you know, maybe they'll give you a harder time.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll give you a harder time for that date. Like, oh, yeah. you want to like this would happen to me. Like, hey, can we meet for X, Y, and Z? Like I literally had like something that I needed to do with that account or an event or whatever. It's like, sure. And like when I got there, it was like a lunch date.
You know, take advantage of it.
And I was like, am I like on a date right now?
How did this happen?
I don't even know that I'm on a date.
How did this happen?
Like, you know, I got like vultured into a date and I was like, shit, like now this is like a big client and like I'm not gonna be rude. So like now I'm in an uncomfortable situation. Uh-huh. So there are, and then you have the women haters. Was like, I told her today, like me and the Corona girl were at it. Cause I was like 23 years old and this girl was like in her 40s.
Oh
so,
man.
Like, then you
so
always
sorry.
Have to deal
she
with
hated
that.
Me,
that's
so
why
she
like
hated me
to
so
me
much.
When it was so bad. I spent most of my 20s in, well, all of my 20s in corporate. And I find like there was no advantage to being a young, like cute girl in the workforce. Yeah, like
no.
all it did,
I would never go back
it was
to
always detrimental because people just thought like, oh, you know, you're just ditzy or you're only good for your looks or people feel like they can do really like inappropriate things or hit on you and take away. So it didn't matter how much I did or how successful I was at work. Mm-hmm. How I looked was always a detriment in that.
Right.
I was like in human resources. I was in training and development. I spent a long time doing that. And I always felt like I had to work twice as hard to prove
yourself
twice as much in order to be taken seriously because I was young and cute, then that was already like two slots like, oh, you can't be taken seriously, particularly in like boys clubs.
So at Heineken, we would have, we'd had a lot of trips, right? Like we would have a lot of like your yearly meeting, your quarter year, this like freaking trips everywhere. So I travel like a few times a year where I would see like the whole company, right? Like everybody comes together. Yeah. And then also there's a distributors. There's like thousands of people, let's say like Phoenix or whatever. And I'm one of the only girls. I'm also very young, attractive. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to stick with like people my age, right? So like we're like, okay, like there are the boomers and we're here. And then like we start noticing, like I would always notice that the older married men were literally the craziest motherfuckers. They were insane. And like, they were the ones that would be up. Like if we had a meeting at 8, they didn't care. They'd be up till 6 a.m. drinking, like partying. It's like, this was like the moment to get away from their wives and like go buck wild. Like we went to the strip club. Like I would smell it. I'm like, you guys smell like beer. Like it's 8 a.m. We're going into a meeting. You guys smell like crap.
Yeah.
And to me, that was a little bit like...
But that's kind of what they have to do. So like when I'm in recruiting, so for example, I have, I'm in recruiting, right? Yeah. And staffing. So if I have like a candidate that I'm trying to get into a job and it's like a high level candidate and I know that he wants to, oh, he's in Miami, we want to show him a good time. I'm not going to be the one to take him out.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell one of my male peers to like, show this guy a nice time. And then they're going to go do all of the degenerate stuff that I would never partake in. And they're going to close the deal for me.
Imagine
right?
all the stuff that I saw when people, especially white folks, you know, they get white boy crazy. Like I saw like groping, like I would see like people like touching their genitals. I'm like,
Yeah.
You know, I was like, weird. A well-behaved person. I'm like, nah, bro. Like, no, it's crazy. But, yeah, you know, we're getting to, like, the middle of our show.
So,
if you want to Bella, run along.
I know. We've got some really good news, and we're so excited. So, last week, we told you guys that we were testing out a product. We had been approached by a company that wanted to potentially sponsor the show, but we wanted to take a moment and make sure that it was a product that worked for us. And we are so excited to say that Century H2O is the official first sponsor of Mostly Peaceful Latinas.
Let's go.
All patriots. All patriot-owned. So no Illuminati, no lizard people here, guys. 100% patriot-owned. To give you guys a little bit of information, like Linda and I had both told you, we had both been looking for water filtration systems. And I don't know if you guys have ever looked into these things, but they're extremely bulky. They take up a lot of space and they're also very expensive, a couple thousand dollars. So one of the greatest things about Century is that not only is it an under the sink water system, which then you don't have to worry about it taking up space or whatnot, but it's the lowest price in the market for products that are comparative to this at $279. So an absolute steal. It's going to do the usual that all of us are concerned with. So it's absolutely going to take the fluoride out of your water so that you don't have to worry about it messing with your kids, particularly messing with your brains, particularly with your children, which are the ones that are most sensitive to issues fluoride. When it comes to fluoride, taking out arsenic, taking out the chromium from your water. It's going to add calcium and magnesium into your water. So we're really excited because it's a great product.
But also, it's super easy to install. I just got it yesterday.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I haven't installed it yet because literally I just picked it up.
I did.
So very Marie, easy.
My husband would have done the installing, but I told him, like, no, let me do it. I want to see how long it takes. It said 15 minutes. It took me 20, but I don't think that's definitive of everybody else, but it was actually really easy to install. And we installed it not just from the water, but into like the refrigerator. So when we get our water, it's all fresh. So super easy to install. Took up a little space, just a small bit of space. We don't have to worry about it taking space on the cabinet. And also extremely affordable.
Yeah. So you guys can get 10% off with MPL10, CenturyH2O.com. We'll also link it here on our little bio. And yeah, we're really excited. This is what we needed.
Yeah, guys, we're so excited that they're supporting us. And show them some support too. If you've been looking into a water filtration system, act now, use our code, and support a patriot-owned company at Century H2O.
And that was, you know, we could cut it out now, but that was the thing. We had a call with the owner. He's from Arizona. He makes the things himself. He's actually apparently like making us like a shower one, I heard.
Yeah, he said he was going to make it special.
He doesn't sell the shower ones, but he said he'd make it for us. And, you know, when we spoke about him, it was about a aligning our values. Like, do you believe in the America First ideal? Like, are you a communist? I'm not. Okay. Do you understand that we're like being taken over by communists? I do. Okay, great. So we can partner. Because honestly, we're not going to work with people who hate us.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to match up with ideology. So if it's not patriot owned, then we don't want anything to do with it because you never know who's a lizard person, clearly, or who's Illuminati. So it's got to be a patriot owned company, and it's really got to be a product because we've been approached by other patriot owned companies where the product just doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us. But this made total sense.
Yeah,
because we were already looking for the water filter. Yeah. So it
makes
total sense.
I have one in my shower now, so I'll use this one now. But Ali, so we have a few things that we want your opinion on.
Oh, let's
as well.
Do it.
So have you heard about the Shakira Piqué little
breakup
and story?
I know she's like losing her mind. She's probably alpha widowed.
Is she? Okay.
So let's recap on exactly what's going on.
Let's recap.
You can bring up the first image. So Shakira and soccer player Piqué were together for 12 years. I believe it was 12 years. So 12 years they were together, a total of 12 years. And Piqué, they were never married.
Interesting.
Her decision, and we're going to get to that now in a minute.
Okay.
Her decision, we're going to get to that now in a minute. But they were never married, and Piqué has recently left his relationship, his 12-year relationship with Shakira, to pursue a relationship with a 23-year-old. What business is she in?
She was part of his like
PR team, right? Yeah. With a 23-year-old PR manager that managed his PR, and he said deuces to Shakira. And the internet has been ablaze because she made this breakup song. strong. It's, you know, women empowerment and screw you and screw the girl that you cheated on me with and all that other good stuff.
BK and Check It Out were never married.
Never
and
married.
She never wanted to get married. And she said she never wanted to get married. Now, BK is also 10 years younger than Shakira. Shakira. They have
Shakira's 42.
Together. She's 42.
BK's 33 or 34, I want to say.
They're 10 years. She's 42. He's 32.
And she's 23. So she's 20. She's almost 20 years younger than Shakira. Clara. Wow. Clara's almost 20 years younger than Shakira. But we want you to hear this clip because this is kind of what we want to base our conversation on.
Okay.
Angel, can you bring up the clip of Shakira explaining why she has chosen not to marry BK?
Panicked. For all intents and purposes, you two are married, but you're not, officially married.
To tell you the truth, marriage scares the out of me. I don't want him to see me as the wife. I'd rather him see me as his girlfriend. Exactly. Yeah. His lover, his girlfriend, like a little forbidden fruit, you know? I want to keep him on his toes. I want him to think that anything's possible depending on behavior.
Did the clip play already?
Yeah, no, it's still going. I see it on the screen.
No, that's where the delay comes in. That's us waiting on the delay. Okay. All right, guys.
All right.
So in the clip, you hear Shakira explain why she doesn't want to get married. She's like, I don't want him to look at me as a boring old wife. I want to keep things spicy and have him look at me as his girlfriend. And now, just as happens with girlfriends, she's just that much easier to dump, that much easier to leave behind, kids and all. And now he's on to his 23-year-old girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you saw her image, but isn't even, you know, she's young. She's a pretty young girl, but she's not Shakira pretty.
She's not. And honestly, like, I know that, you know, can't compete with younger girls. But to be honest with you, I don't think Shakira looks like old at all. I think she's like looks very young even next to that girl. They look like it's crazy. Okay, so your thoughts on the whole situation, tell us.
Well, Shakira might look good and you know that's fine, but 42-year-old Shakira can't compete with 23-year-old Shakira. So we can kind of start on that. But a lot of women that are, I want to say, older than 30, if they're still single, and technically, you know, they were together, but legally maybe they were single, I don't really know. Young women have a vibrancy about them that kind of gets lost with age that a lot of men favor. It's not just about them looking younger. It's just they're in a better mood. I'm in an age gap marriage. My husband
just saw this on Twitter, by the way, and I continue.
I'm in an age gap marriage, and my husband, it took him a while to realize that he could date younger. He kept trying to date women his age. They were very catty, very upset, had already been impressed. That's the thing, too. Right. You can't, as a man, you can't impress Shakira, but the 23-year-old girl on the PR team, you can impress her. And that's a really good dynamic that's healthy, actually, in my marriage, where I'm able to look up at my husband because he's shown me the best things in life. Whereas if I was 30, dating around, I'm like, well, what do you got? What is your offer? But that's how a lot of those women come across. And, you know, he could have been insulted that Shakira didn't want to marry him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some guys, they really do want to lock it down. You keep rejecting. The 23-year-old might marry him. He's wealthy.
Yeah, he's a soccer player. He's one of the best soccer players. Yeah. He's still with Barcelona
now? I would imagine
now?
That, like, to go back to your point, like, there's a lot, even, like, that frame of thinking, like, I never want to get married because then, you know, he's going to see me as a boring wife. There's already so much trauma attached to that statement.
Do we know his answer? Like, do we know if he ever wanted to get married? I don't know about that.
I doubt that he would ever publicly speak about that.
Especially,
you know,
after she said that to me is like, how do you say, emasculating?
It is emasculating.
It's disrespectful.
To say that for a fact.
Proverbs says, a quarrelsome wife is as annoying as a constant dripping on a rainy day. Stopping her complaint is like trying to stop the wind or trying to hold something with greased hands. Literally, the Bible warns of wives that complain too much. And then one has to wonder, like, if she's already kind of setting that precedent where, like, I don't even want to marry you, there's, you know, it's something that you talk about often. There's a certain innocence with that 23-year-old who's probably still like bright eyed and bushy tailed thinking about the idea of marriage and starting a life with someone and a family and all these things, that clearly the cynicism isn't there, that maybe comes with somebody like Shakira saying like, oh, well, I don't want to get married because that's mad dusty. Like, he's not going to live.
I want to go back to something you said that to me, I had never, you know, you just kind of like, there's things that go, like an aha moment. And it's what you said about younger girls, especially with older men. Maybe if it's like the same age, like, if a 23-year-old gets with a 23-year-old, he's not going to know the difference. You understand? A 23-year-old with a 40-year-old or a 37-year-old, he's going to know the difference. And that difference is that that girl is not that damaged, that she's much more joyful, that she doesn't have as much, in Spanish we say, no tiene tanta calle. She doesn't have that much street in her. So she is a lot easier to impress. I think there's this tweet, and the tweet said something like, you know, younger girls are much more relaxed and calm and like, you know, and obviously this is a generalization. I'm sure that there could be like, what is that girl that's like a bad baddie or whatever, the catch me outside. There's girls that have been, you know, they've been having sex since they were like 13 years old. So by the time they're 20, they're like, they have a lot of calle, you know? So we're not going to generalize, but I do see that point, and I never thought about that before, because you do get jaded as you go, you know, especially if you go through difficult relationships or a man cheats on you or a divorce or whatever, you bring that, you don't bring heal, that baggage. You bring that,
And now this other guy has to make up for the fact that, like, you had poor dating choices and chose these, like, really awful guys to place your trust into, right?
So what do you, You think he's going to marry her? He'll probably marry her, right?
I feel like he's probably going to marry her. But it just because Shakira is the one that came out and publicly said that she didn't want to marry him. And there's this other thing, too, is if you look at it from a red pill context, is Shakira still wanted to be able to have agency to do whatever she wanted. And guess what? Like, he left her, right? There's a power dynamic that shifts between men and women. When you are a young woman in the marriage, you have the power because you say, I'm giving you my sexual agency. I belong to you. I'm choosing, because it's the most powerful thing that we have. People don't think about it. You know, you're born with your value. That's something that I had to come into knowledge with. And then that power dynamic shifts when the woman gets older. Because if you close your eyes and you listen, it's the sound of another woman turning 18 who already knows the game. She already knows, right? And you kind of see that play out where the women get an ROI on the investment of being young, giving that man your fertile window, giving him children and things like that. Like what happened with Gary Vee, I think is actually very unusual for that to have occurred.
Gary Vee? I can't. He's a
white star. I can't
give
up.
And I can't stand him.
Fill us in.
I can't stand him. I can't stand him.
You don't like Gary Vee?
No, I don't, because he's a Biden supporter.
Well, yeah, I mean, but they're all liberals. Yeah, but he's like all of the ones that get propped up are liberals.
You know how I feel about voices, like Ben Shapiro's voice?
Do you hate Tony Robbins too?
Don't hate Tony Robbins. No, I like Tony Robbins. I like Tony Robbins.
I can't hate all of them. Grant Cardone is my new favorite.
Grant Cardone, I fuck with him.
So he tell us what's going on with Gary Vee, because we didn't know.
Gary Vee, he met his wife when he was broke. He had nothing, became a schmillionaire during the marriage, right? His wife looking average at best. It's fine, whatever. She was average when she was young. When she got older, she was average too. He never posted her. They get divorced. He has like some hot fly girl, 30-year-old fitness model. She's posted literally all the time. So women look at that and they get scared and they think, oh, that's going to happen to me. Where like that's not true. Like if a man loves you, I think Gary Vee wasn't used to having that kind of power. But you know what it is. Like when a man loves you, you could gain 15 pounds. Yeah. I mean, hopefully like you don't, but there's seasons of life. Okay. Like you might, right? I'm pregnant right now. I look like a cow and my husband still thinks I'm
cute. No, she does not.
Yeah. But you know, your man will find you beautiful in many different ways because he has the wife goggles on. The wife goggles are not bad. American women take advantage of it.
Right.
So women get afraid of that when they really shouldn't be. So I just think Shakira wanted to stay independent and she got what she wanted.
You can tell that she was probably like mad bossy in the relationship, wanted to call the shots.
I heard she's
like,
the worst person to work
things
with.
Things on like my turn.
I know. I heard that she is extremely, extremely bossy and perfectionist and like literally like crazy.
Yeah, I can absolutely see that.
I've heard that from
multiple people. A nagging wife, like after her husband, like keep your shoes off my couch or like stupid shit like that.
Somebody said something, Lily, younger women can also be too immature and impatient. And I'll say that it's also true. It's the reason why some younger men go for older women. There are relationships like that too, where, you know, I've know many guys who are in their 20s. I don't think guys
care about that. I'm going to be honest with you. I cannot tell you the amount of times.
Older guys don't care. Older. The guys younger, that's why I was telling you the other day.
You never had like that one friend in high school that was like mad drama and like her and her boyfriend were always breaking up and getting back together. And he always went back to her.
Yeah, but they were both immature.
I mean, they're both immature.
That's fair. So, but there is a reason why you also have the age gaps between the older girl and the younger guy, where the younger guy goes around. And I think especially it could, you know, I've heard that here in Miami specifically, like I go around all these girls who are 21, they're 22, they're 23, and they're like, you know, dumb and immature. And, you know, all they want to do is drink and this and that. And like, we got to, you know, not all guys want that lifestyle. So I guess it depends.
I don't think, from this is my perspective on the younger man, older woman thing. So, you know, you could be a young man who's 23-year-old woman. She's still going to be out there, going to be partying, going to be very hot. A woman who's getting closer to what the guys call the wall, which is usually around 30. Just think about it. I know I peaked at 24. Like, I look good, but, you know, I was very fit. Okay, I remember I was 132 pounds, 20% body fat. So these guys, they're wanting to settle down, but the girls their age don't want to. But a woman who's 27 to 30, she's starting to get concerned because 90% of your eggs are gone by 30, like straight up, right? It doesn't mean you can't have a child. If you're a healthy woman, you can still have a child. But you're more fertile from like 15 to, you know, 25 than you would be 25 to 30. So it's common sense on that. But what I find with older women that go for younger men too, is that they want to control that younger man, and they can control the younger man because very naive, like that PJ Washington, Brittany Renner situation. I've seen it because like men their age.
You know, I had to look up Brittany. Yeah. What's her name? What's her last
Brittany
name?
Brittany Renner.
Renner. I had to look her up because of you.
Oh, okay.
I had no idea. I'm sorry. Like just sidetrack for a second. Mm-hmm. And then like, I wanted to ask you and I'll ask you later about the legging. What the F is that about? She has like, you know what I'm talking about? Like her like leggings, like one leg is like, doesn't have a legging, but the other one does.
Girl, that's just like bad fashion.
It's just like, I always like, oh, Allie. But it's like really weird, but whatever. No. Anyways, continue. Sorry.
No, that's pretty much it. I see a lot of older women that, you know, they can prey on younger men.
I was just telling Linda, so Shawn Mendes is now dating a doctor who is like twice his age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like 20 something, and she's like in her 50s. And it's like, that's a.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know what I think that it comes down to? When after my mom got divorced from my dad, she dated a younger guy who was 10 years younger than her, and he was in love with her. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to marry her, but my mom came with all of this baggage, and she had kids, and she was heartbroken, and I don't know if I want to get married again, and all these other things. And really, I almost feel like that tends to be what's detrimental when the roles are reversed, because I feel like women can't work through that lack of confidence that comes from the competition of younger women, from dating somebody that's younger. If you grow older,
like if you're like,
women have a much harder time maintaining a certain sense of
like, I'd be like scared.
Confidence in that situation that men don't. Probably because they men do. Are able to make up with it. Where it's like, well, the 23-year-old doesn't have my money, my size, my power, as opposed to women that very much find their worth in the way that they look and whether or not they're found attractive by men.
Someone said in the comment, what do you girlies views on women dating older men, though 10 years older? So Allie is in a in an age gap relationship. How many years, Allie? I
mean, we're 23.
23. Okay. Yeah. So you guys are 23 years apart.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. Like, you know, works how. I personally older, right. Bella's husband's a little older, so I personally like older guys as well. And I think that's like a better dynamic, but I'm one of those people that's like, whatever works for you.
but that's also very traditional, right? Like the idea, because when you hear stories about when women got married when they were 14, 15, once upon a time, the reason why men were older is because older men were the ones that were able to provide what they were taking them away from. So if I'm taking you away from
your
the
family,
home that you're at with your family, where your food is paid for, your home is paid for, then I need to be a man of status that's going to be able to provide that for you as well. So the reason why you saw women getting married younger back then, the big age gaps between women or girls, what we consider now girls 14, 15, years old, and they were being married off to 25-year-olds, 26-year-olds, it's because the man had to reach a certain level of status and stability before they could get married.
Yeah,
and the status thing is important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially for a fact.
Well, they had to be providers. There was a lot, the demand. That's part of the issue that I have with the manosphere. That, you know, there's always the requirement where it's like you need to be a high value woman to attract a high value man. But the truth is that by definition of the manosphere, what is a high value man? Like, if you've got a color to a Bugatti, if you don't, then you're not necessarily high value.
Yeah. Well, so, I hate the manosphere.
Because I feel like the manosphere doesn't leave room for average people.
Women don't date
average. Do you know what the metrics of an average man are? I have like tons of data and statistics. Y'all should ask me some more questions. Oh, by the way, most women prefer older men. On average, it's 4 years older, which kind of makes sense for reproduction. So, but it's like in proportion to the woman's age. So if I'm 25, I want a 29-year-old, 30, 34, that kind of thing. And those large age gaps, what you're seeing, were arranged upper class society marriages, because normally people married 25 years old and younger, but they married within their age group. But the high society, they did do the age gap marriages, which is why those men had to be, you know, a certain social status. Because it's like, if you're going to take them from our wealth, you better have some wealth of your own. But
I'll be honest with you. Like, the minute, and I told this to Bella, and I guess this is kind of like a weird thing to say because I don't like to get too personal. But, you know, the minute I hit 30 was when all the young guys are like just – after me.
Well, because I think that's all.
That's like really weird.
I know that the manager says that like women peak like in their 20s, and I get that. But I also experienced that when I turned 30, I became attractive, like not me attractive to them, but like men of all ages were attractive to me. Men that were younger than me, men that were my age, men that were older. Now I'm like way past 30. Right. But now that I'm much older, it's different. But I remember hitting 30 years old and like being at like a peak of like, I guess, attractiveness of where people found me attractive, where people were hitting on me.
Yeah, I think women get a second wind at 30 if you take care of yourself. Like, I've seen it where I think the face matures, you know, because you go from the baby face to, like, the woman face. I think that can be part of it. But the manosphere leaves out average dudes. I mean, they talk about it a little bit, but your average guy is 5'9", makes $40,000 a year, and is overweight or obese. So even though, they talk...
Especially in America, that sounds like a true fact. It sounds like a true fact.
Yeah, so, like, we don't really date average. We don't marry average.
Averages of women? That's, like, I think that to the argument is, I know that in the manosphere, it's always like this idea of like women have very unrealistic standards of what it is that they're going to find in a man.
Yeah.
But I feel like the manosphere is also doing a disservice to men because it's also creating an unrealistic ideal of what a woman is.
So
it's going to
look. One second, guys. Our friend Inform with Anthony, one of our best friends, Anthony Cavaza, is on the chat. He's live right now.
Mexican dad is live on
this
the
is a real trap. This is a real, Ali, this is a real trap.
This is a real trad.
He married his wife at 18 years old. They have three beautiful kids together. Aww. He goes to Bible study. He's a very strict father. He's, you know, called me before.
He drinks raw milk.
He's about the raw milk diet. He wakes up at 5 a.m., takes his kids to the gym. Really, really good man. But guys, for those of you who do not know, real quick, there's like a crazy story right now going on where five cops in, where is it? I think like Phoenix or Memphis or something. They apparently murdered another black man, and so they got fired. So Anthony is actually going tomorrow to cover the event with Andy Ngo and other reporters. So please, if you guys follow, if you don't follow Anthony, Inform with Anthony on Instagram, Inform with Anthony on YouTube, and you know, just throw him $5, $10, because he is getting money to go cover this thing live. There's going to be riots. It's going to be insane.
And he really is 100%
He is 100% self-funded, father of three, that's taking time to go report the real news, because you know we cannot depend on CNN or even Fox News. So,
You look so hot today. I'm like looking at you in the screen.
I told you that I was going to start stepping up my game for the show. Like last week, I was the other day I came looking crazy. I had allergies. I was like boogers, like angels, like passing me a napkin. Like, so I was like, okay, today.
I'm not doing this no more.
We're not doing, okay. And by the way, it's in Memphis. Okay, Memphis, Tennessee. Sorry. So before we move on, and we're almost actually at the end of our show, but
we're not at the end. We're gonna keep going.
But we do have a segment, Ali. We want to introduce you. Do you know who Señorita Laura is? Laura in America.
She sounds
familiar. We were gonna talk about Georgina and Ronaldo because that's a whole other story.
We're just cutting to a little segment.
Okay, we can do a little segment. Y'all want to do a little segment?
We have our Desgraciado of the Week. So basically, like, okay. We have our Desgraciado of the Week. Please play the Desgraciado of the Week.
¿Qué pasa el desgraciado?
¿Qué pasa el desgraciado? Bala, do the honors, please. Who is Or the Gaseado of the week.
So, I mean, I know we have some new followers here today, but for those of you that are unaware, for the last year, Linda and I have been heavily involved in local activism. And, well, we have arch nemesis down here. We have trolls, we have Antifa trolls, we have PR trolls, we have political trolls. But a gentleman by the name of Caleb Freestone. Please put up the image over there, Angel.
Of this monster.
So, Caleb and what's her name? Samantha, was it?
Amber Smith Stewart.
Caleb Freestone and Amber Smith Stewart have been regulars at school board meetings, harassing parents.
Doxing.
We told you guys about the vandalism that took place against Heartbeat of Miami, a pro-life center that was vandalized with graffiti by the group Jane's Revenge. Well, Caleb Freestone and Samantha have both been indicted and are facing how many years, Linda? 12 years?
12 years in prison, three years on probation, $350,000 fine. Mm-hmm. They're the first two pro-abortion activists that were that have been indicted by the Department of Justice under Joe Biden, which is extremely, extremely shocking, surprising. Mm-hmm. So thank you, President Cabbage. I'm a fan.
Thank them or the Department of Justice?
Whoever. But
I don't know if I thank the cabbage for just about anything.
But wait,
I don't
know if we didn't know. A couple months had gone by, and we didn't know if they were actually gonna there would be justice against the people that were vandalizing.
Yeah.
And you know, these pregnancy centers. You're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of like, all right, whatever. We knew who this guy was. We identified him. By the way, we sent it to the owner of Heartbeat Center. So you can thank us if you go to jail and other people in the community that helped this. That's what they do, right? Yeah. Antifa loves, because they watch your show, by the way.
They do.
So Antifa loves.
Like
they wanted Bella in jail.
Yeah.
Is this Latino Antifa or white Antifa?
They're both public relations Antifa.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They do all their so
really.
They're Latino supremacists down here in Miami. No, they're
white supremacists. They're white supremacists.
Here's the truth. We do not have an Antifa presence in South Florida, with the exception of four or five nerds like Caleb and Samantha. However, what we do have is a heavy Miami digital Antifa presence, and that digital presence isn't actual Antifa. It's
a PR.
Big Bucks PR firm that's paid by their local clients, because Linda and I don't shut the hell up about local politics. So
they'll never come up to us. I literally rolled away with a MAGA hat. Nobody. Through black people, through Latinos, through Asians, through yellow, like purple.
You're kidding.
Nobody has ever said a word to me on the street in Miami. No one has ever said F you or this or that or fascist. Nothing. They don't want the smoke. They don't want the smoke. I promise you that. They don't want the smoke. The worst part about the situation too, guys, by the way, so if you guys are listening, is that not only do those two people get caught, but also their partner, Elizabeth Sanchez.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth Sanchez. Hi. Remember when you were making fun of me and you made a little meme about me? Now this girl has had to close her account on Twitter because she is about to be indicted by the Department of Justice for being a goon.
Oh my God.
These are the people that said they were going to hold fascists accountable. We're going to hold you accountable. They were literally crying about a meme that I made of a helicopter, an artwork, a piece of art. A piece of art that I made of a little helicopter and them falling off the helicopter. They were crying about it. We're going to hold you accountable for a meme. You guys are going to jail. You guys are going, and it's not going to stop, because now they're going to, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You know how it is. So that is where this guy's
imagine thinking we're going to shut up. thinking that we're going to be quiet. Imagine thinking that we're not more dangerous behind the scenes. Yeah. Imagine thinking all of that.
Yep.
To all of our enemies, imagine.
Oh my God. You guys are, can I just say something?
Please.
I have 141,000 subscribers. Y'all are the funniest podcast I've ever been on. No, y'all are my favorite. Like, no offense, Pearl. Like, no offense. This is my favorite podcast I've ever been on. Also, no offense, Fresh and Fit. Like, y'all are still my, somebody please sign these people. Like, throw in some super chats. This is funny.
Guys, we don't have help us out on the chat.
Yes, guys, super chats. Remember, we strongly depend on you guys. No lizard people.
We have our main guy right here.
Yeah.
We help him. We help everybody.
No lizard people, no Illuminati, guys. We really are funded, and now Century Age 2.0 is helping us, but that's still not enough. The podcast is expensive. Angel doesn't come cheap, guys.
Angel's not cheap, guys. This studio's not cheap. But okay, so moving on. The other couple that we want to ask Ali about, because this is my favorite couple. I love them. I love Georgina. I love Cristiano Ronaldo.
Love the love story.
Like, I literally go on her Instagram and I'm just like, the vibes, the glam, like the whole thing. So anyways, Cristiano Ronaldo, Georgina Rodriguez.
Okay.
You know about them.
Yeah. You know, they're another one of these modern couples that doesn't want to get married. Okay. And somehow he got the country to change the laws for him.
Okay, so did he?
Haram.
Haram.
I love that I'm like on the Muslim like algorithm now.
Me too. I told you it's the best algorithm.
I'm like going through like all of these videos and I'm like, damn, these girls live like this. I'm in the wrong
place. I know. But you didn't see my status the other day. You know how you can put a little status on like Instagram? I'm like, I literally need some like Dubai oppression. Like, I need to be oppressed by these Arabs because they live the best life.
I always send Linda like the videos of the girls like with their hijabs shopping at like Versace, like doing their thing, and it's like, I want this oppression. Like, where's
here like fighting Antifa. Like, this is ghetto. I don't belong here. But
you're here fighting Antifa to convince him that you are a woman in there,
right,
and that Caleb isn't.
So Ali, what do you think about that, Cristiano Ronaldo? And he doesn't want to marry his girl. So he basically told Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan put
him on
the spot.
Let's pull the clip. We actually have the clip.
You have the clip?
Yeah.
Okay, just kidding. Pull the clip.
Different highs. Even she's young, but she suffered, you know, she's born in Argentina. She has his issues with his family as well. She live alone. She have interesting life and histories as well. History. And she helped me a lot. She's very mature for his age. We help each other. Sometimes when I'm a little bit down, she pushed me up. And I do it to the other side. So we are a nice couple. We help each other. So I'm really pleased that she's on my side.
Any movement on the wedding bells, Cristiano?
I'm not thinking now about that, but I can see in the future. I think I deserve, she deserves, but it's something that not coming now in my plans, but in the future, yes, I want.
So
is that okay? So that's a good that's a conversation that we're gonna have right now, right? So in the clip, Ronaldo, if you guys completely missed it, like the body language says everything. Ronaldo gets completely apprehensive and nervous when they ask him, is he gonna marry this woman that he's been with for how long? Have him and Georgina been together now?
Like 7 years.
7 years, two kids, right? Two kids. I don't know how many properties they own together, travel the world together. And when they ask him, are you gonna marry her? He's like, well, you know, don't maybe pressure me, day. Pierce. Don't maybe pressure me. Maybe someday, someday. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so here's the thing. I feel like Cristiano Ronaldo, in the first place, the only reason why he feels put on the spot and uncomfortable is because he's Latino. Because there's plenty of these dudes that are like other races.
Is he? Isn't he European?
Well, he's Portuguese. I'm really European.
He's Portuguese, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's against his culture. Right. Whereas like if he was more Americanized, if he was a Black American or a white American, you know, nobody would say anything. They'd be like, oh, OK. But I think that's why he felt some type of way. Like if, oh, you know, well, you're don't pressure me. But he doesn't have to marry her. Like this man is $1 million, 6 foot tall soccer player. And she wants to be by his side and have his babies. Yeah. And I think it comes down to like some of these guys are smart. And they're not going to get married because of the legal system in the U.S. But then he moved countries. So that's like really confusing because then he's not even beholden to American laws in that regard. And I think, well, I don't know if they changed the law. I'd be curious to see if they did. That would be nuts if he had that influence. But if she wanted.
Sorry, I don't think they changed the law. They just allowed him to bypass the law.
All right. Okay. So for those of you that are unaware, just to keep up with the story, Ronaldo has recently traded. He's going to finish off his career playing for Saudi Arabia, which means that he has to move there. Mm-hmm. But now he's moving over there with his unmarried live-in girlfriend that he's been with. So the laws would have normally restricted that. But somehow Ronaldo and his girlfriend, Georgina, are getting a pass at that. I think, you know, she's got everything that she needs. She's like, what more could she possibly? I could see, if I was in her shoes, I definitely wouldn't pressure him to marry me. Like, we already have two kids, so I'm never gonna not be rich.
He got it like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Is it really that much of an L to be Elon Musk's baby mama?
No, you know, no,
they didn't talk about this.
I talked about it. I mean, what the hell?
He has three.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've never seen them come out and complain. You know what? Even Nick Cannon's baby mamas don't complain about him.
I'm a Nick Cannon fan. I'm going to be honest with you.
Because he's out here populating the earth.
I'm a Nick Cannon
fan. He's out there, he's doing the Lord's work. Que no te oiga Mexican dad saying that.
Nick Cannon, the Lord said, what is it? Be fruitful and multiply. Yeah. Nick Cannon said, bet. So I approve of Nick Cannon. I mean, it is what it is. He loves his kids. He takes care of his kids. And he's a baby mama. So, I mean,
that's not my problem.
That's my
thing. He has like a five-star
Do they love each other? Does he ever like force them to hang out like sister wives?
No, I just know that like he hasn't gotten not one negative Yelp review so far as a baby daddy. Like, not
guys, we have a couple of contributions. We want to say thank you. Stacy, thank you so much for always supporting us. $40 contribution says they don't want the smoke. And you is right, girl.
They don't want the smoke.
Bela with a $1.99 contribution. Thank you, Bela, so much. And Miss Perda at $50. We really appreciate you helping us keep the podcast going, guys. We really strongly depend on you guys to keep this going. Like we said, the studio is not cheap. And we never want to rely on Illuminati or lizard people. We'll cut off the show before that happens. But luckily, we have you guys.
One thing, okay, because the thing is, like, I asked my girlfriends, right? Like, I have a few married girlfriends, and most of them found their husbands in college, which I think is ideal, by the way, because you're both start at the same level, so you're both broke. Mm-hmm. You build together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've seen from my friends, so I think that's beautiful. But anyways, I remember I was at a baby shower last year, and I was like, hey, like, what do you think about, like, this Cristiano, like, situation? Because I just watched Georgina, the show, and she's like, he wants a babysitter. He wants a hot babysitter. And I was like,
no.
I think he loves her. I think so, too.
And she didn't mean it like he didn't like her or love her. He's just like, because he's
he
like,
just wanted somebody to bear him children.
Because he's like, look, like, because the first three kids that he has, nobody knows who the mom is. Like,
Cristiano, so he prolific. Okay.
So Cristiano Jr. came from, we don't know, apparently it was in vitro or whatever.
It was like I think that he used a surrogate.
They say that there's a rumor that supposedly the mom or like the egg that they use is like from like a pro like athlete because he wanted like a superstar kid.
Bruh, what?
So I swear that's like the rumor. So that's why his kid now plays. Like he's in like the minor, like the kids leagues or whatever you want to call it. So supposedly that is why he had little Cristiano because he wanted his like protege, blah, 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 with like the best genes possible. Then he has the other two kids. Also, we don't know who the mom is. So, I mean, naturally,
he just wanted to be a dad.
Right. He wanted to be a father, and I guess he didn't want to have any strings attached. And then he's like, you know what? Like, she's going to take care of my kids. If you think about it, he has a very strict schedule. Like, his schedule's super, super strict. Like, you know, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do anything. You are training for a certain amount of a month. Sometimes you're not even home. So who's going to take care of your kids?
Yeah, this reminds me of Andrew Tate. You know, he has 10 kids.
I heard recently.
Yeah, he has 10 kids. I see a lot of these guys that they're high earning and they're just like, yeah, marriage. Okay, whatever. Look, I need to have these babies. I need to have my DNA going. Like, no, seriously. Yeah. I was talking to a gentleman today, a very kind, sweet gentleman, a very good earner as well. He's like, literally like, I'm looking for my baby mamas right now. I'm talking to one of my prospects. I got two prospects. Like these guys, it's different for them. It's and like I know for like us lowly poor folk, the common folk, we're looking at them like, wow, I can't believe they wouldn't get married. And they're like, my genes. Yeah. I got 10 of them. Well, Elon too.
Let me tell you guys about my uncle and aunt. So my aunt married a very, very, very wealthy Colombian man, like another level of wealth. They never got married, but there's a law, and I think that law is kind of like the common law or whatever, that after 2 years or something,
we used to have that here in Florida
together. Yeah. You're basically like, when if you do get a divorce, you're legally still entitled. So I guess that's kind of like the reason why she didn't care. Plus, she was like taken care of, and you know, she never had to work. She had maids, she had a driver. It was like really, really good setup. And you know, even now that they're not together anymore, like he still takes care of her. So like, she didn't lose, you know, like she gained, like she never got married, right? So, but she still got all the jewelry. She still got everything. She got properties. She has three kids. All the three kids are taken care of, and he's still taking care of her.
Mm-hmm. But that's like the exception.
No, that's but that's definitely but the, I know that, but that's what she was saying. She just said for the dudes that are at that level.
Yeah, right? we can't even comprehend or imagine how these people structure their lives. Like we like to sit here and we like to fantasize. I don't even know. I have a friend. She grew up in a very wealthy family. She didn't know her dad until she was like 16. I mean, he was there, but he was working 60 plus hours a week. Like that's what it takes to make that kind of money. So for those men, they want to make their mark on the world and they'll get a genetic output, but they don't really have the time to invest in their children.
Right.
And that's just how it is. And like some women, they accept it and they take on the role. It sounds like it's isolating. Yes. It's not something that me and my husband would ever want to do, but I'm not going to pretend to know what like, what kind of pro athlete is he? He's like one of the biggest.
I don't know. I don't live that life. Maybe live that
life. I'm too broke. And like,
for what? I don't know. Have you ever dated like a sports star or like something like you know?
But they're retarded. I mean, it's like, no, you have to, like, if you know, I say this to people all the time, especially the trolls. I'm like, you guys don't think that like I could have been a black athlete's baby mama? Mm-hmm. Like I could have done it when I was like 23, 24. Mm-hmm. But you have to be a certain type of woman, right? Like, you're okay with like being a baby mama because you know you're gonna get 10K a month.
Yeah.
And you know, you're gonna have an absent father. And that's really not the life that I wanted for myself. But I think
it also goes back to your mentality because I wish that my mom or like my parents would have had a different kind of mentality of where my priorities were in because there was like the priority was you need to take care of yourself. You need to work, you need to go to school, you need to make money.
Yeah,
you never need to depend on anybody that's gonna take advantage of you or that's gonna treat you bad. And there was more priority in that than, you know, being high value, you know, you don't want to be going out every weekend. And here's why, because you do want to find a husband and putting value on that. It was more like that men were almost like if they don't treat you a certain way, then they're almost like disposable. Like, no aguante paquete was what my parents used to say.
Yeah,
that too,
for sure.
We have a couple of contributions, guys. Dom, with his $5 contribution, saying anti-lizard people tip jar. Great show today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stephanie Benavido with the $19.99 contribution. Thank you so much, Stephanie. And for the little super sticker, that's so cute.
That's so cute.
And Alejandra Rodriguez with $4.99 saying, muchachas, keep it up. Love that you girls also keep us up to date on current Latin American affairs. More of that, porfis. We'll try, you know, we're trying.
So Andy, just to answer your question, obviously that was a clip from, we were joking around. It was a joke. It wasn't like literal. But no, I'm not okay with that life because I could have had that life. Mm-hmm. You know, I dated the athletes. I went out with like, I could have had that life, especially when I was younger. So I didn't choose that life. Like you're talking about a clip from a podcast that was like
a joke. It was said in like,
But obviously,
people don't get jokes.
So there's a clip that I don't even know what we're talking about. I guess just Elon Musk.
No, you're talking about Elon Musk and how
when he took over Twitter, I guess.
Yeah.
It was like the
conversation. Yeah. Well, so it was like, it's the same Twitter still.
So I was like, oh, I would. It's the same fucking Twitter.
It's the same Twitter.
Still not back on. I'm not back on either.
He hasn't let me.
They let Nick Fuentes.
What up, Elon? We just defended your right to baby mama. Let them back on Twitter.
Let us back on Twitter.
So you know how like the men. And this is my problem with the manosphere, and this is my problem with men online.
Yeah.
Like, my biggest haters are men online.
Always.
And I hate
every
them.
Single time.
Right? I love the fact that my audience on Instagram is 70% women. I love that. Oh. And I wish it was 90%. I wish it was 100%. I wish men didn't follow me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you why. If, like, it happened the other day and I was, like, screaming on the phone. I was so fucking pissed. This guy, he gets into, like, some argument with me, whatever. And then he goes, because I guess he started following me after the Cheney Rich videos that I did when I was, like, rollerblading. The young kid, he, like, the street interviews. And by the way, that was, like, Cheney Rich was asking me, like, that I have a bigger platform to meet up. Meet him up. He's way younger. He's, like, you know, like, impressed with, like, whatever people.
You went kind of viral with that one.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll meet you up. And I you know me, like, I go rollerblading every single weekend. I do it every single Sunday. I do, like, all these miles. So I told him, I said, I'm going rollerblading, so meet me, like, right before, because he's at South Beach, and we'll do it, 15 minutes. Those interviews caused, there was good. I got a lot of love, but then also every single hater was a men hater. Calling me an OnlyFans whore and like you play with dildos online, like all these like nasty, nasty comments. Yeah. But then I guess I got some followers and then this week this guy goes, you only got famous because of the Cheney Rich videos because of your tits or some shit like that. And I go, first of all, you're creepy because you're following me because of those videos. And second of all, Cheney Rich is a one with like younger creator with a smaller following that wanted to meet me to be in part of his videos. So I'm like, dude, you guys, like, see, this is a problem with, like, the hot girl curse. Like,
yeah.
You automatically think that because I'm attractive, it's the only reason why people yeah. follow me.
And your only contribution
right,
to society.
My only contribution are my fucking tits, and that's it. Like,
yeah.
get out of here. But you know, like, you're so creepy.
You know, like, what, all that, it's hard
and
to say.
And they can't take jokes. I'm sorry. I forgot yeah. about this. And, like, to the point with Andy, like, you guys cannot take jokes. You guys joke around taking a right to vote, all these yeah. things, and we're like, all right, whatever. We go along with it. But the minute we say something that we sound like gold diggers or this or that, just joking, yeah. we're all like, look how you guys are. I'm still getting comments under that Elon Musk video. Actually, I got one this week. The guy followed me to comment and then unfollowed me. And he was just bitching at the fact that I said that. He's like, you see, all women are just gold diggers.
It's always
like,
men.
And
it's
I'm like,
men.
It's a joke. Like, haha, it's a joke.
No, 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 like, no. Hold on. You like, because you're probably, look, I'm going to take you out of school. All right, listen, because you guys are going to be famous. I don't know if you know that. There's no Latino American YouTube that's like,
yeah, we know.
I mean, yeah. Anyway, somebody sign these people. Like, please stop being stupid. It's like sitting on $1 million right here. But no, you're not dealing with regular men. Like, you're dealing with people that are perpetually online. And I found that out.
What have yeah. you been?
I've been.
No.
You've been.
Yeah, no, you're okay. Because I used to, when my platform was smaller, I would message some of these guys, right? Just because, like, I thought there could be a mod. I thought they could be helpful.
Right.
And then, you know, I was kind of naive still because I didn't have any social media before I started the YouTube channel. One guy, I ended up befriending him on Instagram. And then I ended up seeing, like, how he lived, right? Because he put it on his story. It's just dirty, disgusting. But he's online 12 to 16 hours a day because I'm like, I stay home and I stay, I mean, I'm on YouTube like a fair amount because it's what I do, but you can see who's in everybody's chat throughout the clock. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm cooking, I'm cleaning. They're in every single person's chat. So it's like, these are people that are mentally ill or wow. they're on the spectrum. Right. And the algorithm itself, it'll push people that are narcissistic, sociopathic, or neurotic. God. So you're not dealing with regular men. Like, your biggest supporters are going to be quieter. They're going to super chat. But right. your haters are going to be the men that are mad, and they have, you know, lots of reasons why they're mad, but they're mentally ill. You're not dealing with normal people.
I think that's the standard. Like, so the thing for the last 2 weeks is that, like, Linda will come over yeah. to my house and, like, she'll see my husband doing, like, you know, like, regular husband yeah. things. And I'm like, they're still joking around. I'll be like, look at this high quality man right here that I've got. Yeah. And then she'll respond and say, like, you know where he's not at? The internet.
Manosphere.
He's the internet. Not on the manosphere.
It's not the manosphere either.
They're not there. Yeah. They're not there. And I made a little clip about it because yeah. I said that the manosphere is full of losers. And it's funny because there's a group of guys that go to my Kava bar and they're part of the manosphere. And some of them don't even show their faces online. I just know they have accounts on Twitter. Twitter's like a big yeah. thing for it. And they give all this advice and da 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 da. And I've seen their tweets. And so I know these guys in real life. Like, I've interacted with them. And I'm letting you know right now that besides the fact yeah. that they may have a good body because they work out and eat well, that's part of, like, their little, like, persona, they can't talk to girls, they can't talk to women in real life. That, you know, it was to the point where I'm not even trying to be mean, but, like, I genuinely thought one of those guys was a homosexual. And again, I'm not yeah. trying to be funny.
No, you know, there's manosphere guys that would agree with you. Like, yeah, that's why I'm very specific about who I work with in the manosphere. Mm-hmm. And it's like the guys that I know that can talk to women, and I can tell because they're not pressed on Twitter.
Right.
But yeah, like, these guys are socially maladjusted, and they have some kind of assumption too, that because I'm in an age gap and because my husband, you know, is familiar with red pill content, that, like, red pill taught him game. No, baby.
No.
Being Gen X taught my husband game. He just didn't understand.
It's a different breed of Gen X series.
It's a different kind of guy. So all the manosphere told him was, you can date younger women. He was like, oh, bet, facts. And that's what he went on and did. But it wasn't any of this. But these guys, yeah. like, some of them make it a hobby. Now, there's a lot of guys that are working hard behind the scenes that you'll never hear from them. And they're actually getting stuff done. And they'll send field reports up to the manosphere content creators. But this is not, I also wouldn't say that it's the manosphere, because I think these people are, like, such losers. Not, you know, just chill. But I think when you have nothing to live for, mm-hmm. when you are mentally ill, neurotic, narcissistic, sociopathic, you'll find anything, because these same men that are bugging out in the manosphere, they would be bugging out with Antifa. They would be bugging out with the far right. They would be bugging out and whatever they could find, whatever they were called to, mm-hmm. that's what they would engage with, you know? Because I do know some guys that are good in the sphere, and I would, you know, work with them.
Yeah, I don't think that the manosphere, and mm-hmm. I mean, we got to admit, the manosphere is shifting culture and taking yeah. very weak soy beta men and giving them, you know, these alpha type role models to look up to, right? So I think that that's, it's always kind of where I felt that it's like a double-edged sword. I don't think that the trolls are representative so much of the manosphere, but unfortunately, a side effect, if you will, of the manosphere is that now you've got these nerd losers that feel like, I'm part of the manosphere too. Yeah. And it's like, well, no, really, you're just a nerd that still lives at home with your mom. You can't pay your own bills. You couldn't even afford, and forget afford, you couldn't attract a six if you wanted to, much less the 10 that you try and compare all women to. Because what's been standard, and this was like way before the manosphere, because we've been on the internet a little bit longer than before this trend started.
The manosphere has been like a 2 year like thing.
Has been
like
in the last, on the rise. On the rise in the last two years.
They didn't exist when we started.
It is always the case, with the exception of our stalker, it is always the case that it is men.
Oh my God, men, like chill.
Who have the worst to say, the nastiest comments. I've seen you get comments and it's like, hello.
Oh, I'm used to it. Trad wifey covered up everything.
And it's like, there's still something that she's doing wrong.
Yeah. I'm pregnant too. And come on. No, you can't get rid of it. You can't stop it. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it. You just kind of learn to work with it or to just ignore it. Cause it's like, you know, in a way, if you want to get, you know, if you want to open your heart, and I'm like 10th percentile of compassion. So it's like, apparently I'm not compassionate at all. But if you want to have like an open heart, it's kind of like punching down. Cause like, you know, obviously these guys are losers, but like y'all get the smoke because you don't shut your mouth. Real talk.
Yeah.
If you just say nothing on the internet, you're behaving. If you say something and it's stupid, that's misbehaving. So if you did nothing, nobody would give you the smoke, but they also get like a rise out of it. And it's attention too. Cause if it's a narcissist, that's what they want, is the attention. Now, a neurotic person, they're just looking for the emotions. But the narcissist wants the attention, wants the recognition. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with full-blown covert narcissists calling into my show. And I say like, oh, I was keeping track of your channel. And he's like, smiles kind of like at the camera, you know? They like it. Yeah, right. So you're not dealing with normal people. But I would say to ignore them, because your supporters that love you, they start to feel ignored because you're giving the bad guys the attention.
I've seen that happen. Yeah. People are like, you know, you've got all this time to interact with the troll. And it's like, you're not us, we interact with everybody, and we don't have a lot of people interacting in the comments yet, but we will.
Oh, you will. You will. Not get yet, ready.
But we will.
And Bella's comment says, it's actually a picture of Jesus Christ looking down at all of us for being disappointments. It says, disappointments, all of you.
Disappointments, all of you.
Her husband gave it to her.
My husband did give me this.
I want one. How do I get one? Her
husband. I love that I love that this is what he saw, and he's like, I need to get this for my wife.
Please, I leave on the 30th. You want to mail it to me.
Honestly, like, we're such good girls, dude. Like, we don't
really are.
Like, we really are. Like, we don't, like, we're not, like, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, all the, it's just the internet. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. But, like, all the assumptions and all the garbage that we get. You know, I told Anthony, a Mexican dad, today, I said, you know, sometimes I don't even blame the OnlyFans girls. Like, I don't. I'm not, I don't support it. I don't condone it. I would never want to see my daughter, where I would never want my kid to be like, my mom was an OnlyFans whore. You know, like, I would never want that. But I also don't blame them, because we live in a society where you get judged no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. And so earlier when we talked about, like, being in corporate as a woman, I just, no. no. Obviously, I don't want to hate on anybody that's in corporate, but especially for, like, a male industry, maybe if you're, like, in, like, I don't know, hair, products, makeup, whatever, but alcohol, no.
That too is male dominated. I had a friend that worked for one of the biggest hair extension companies. There was a salesperson there, and she left because of the overwhelming amount of, like, sexual harassment that she received while she was there.
So, where was I going with this? Okay, so with, like, the whole corporate thing, I was telling, I think, Anthony, I said, well, a hot girl, you know, the best thing that she can do is marry young, right? The best thing that she can do is marry young, secure the bag with an older guy who's married, and be comfortable and whatever, do her thing. Because she's not going to do well in corporate, because she's going to get, you know, either hit on by her boss and boys, and then the women are going to hate on her. And then I said, that's why you have so many of these girls who are attractive, semi-attractive, or get surgery and get better, and then end up being insta-hoes, OnlyFans girls, because it's like, okay. Societies are already gonna judge me.
Yeah,
it's already gonna hate me. Like, I'm if I'm hot, I'm always gonna have to prove people wrong. So I might as well just, like, shake my ass on OnlyFans. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I
don't condone it though. I don't condone it.
Yeah, I used to get pretty upset because I would get judged a lot. I still get kind of judged about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm remarried and also...
You must get shit for it.
Yeah, well...
Well, you had some trolls in the chat earlier. I guess they're really upset that your husband's older.
Look, man.
Wait, for real? I didn't see
that. Yeah, we did. We had two trolls on the chat. You can tell that they follow. You can tell that they follow at... Well, we've got them too. They'll go into other chats to find us. But you can tell that they were like... Oh, you know, she's teaching women how to marry older men. She's teaching
so young what? Latino women. I would have been with a man my age, but I mean, just being real, like a lot of y'all are feminized, right? And it's not your fault, okay? Because like even my husband, he's Gen X. He had a hard time leading me. He was like, "Oh, for real? You want me to give instructions?" I was like, "Yes, baby, please." He was like, "All right, do this." I was like, "All right, thanks." All right, I needed the advice.
Yeah.
You know, so it is what it is. But you're just gonna get it no matter what. Like you can never be perfect enough for these people because at the end of the day, if I am. You know, I've been married to my husband for 15 years in the future, and we have 3 kids together, and it's a beautiful life. They're still going to be like, well, that one time when you were a private, you were married, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know,
There's always going to be haters. We have a hater right now, Maria. These chicks were raised in the USA. They don't speak Latin American women. Okay.
¿Qué momento se le dijo usted que nosotros no éramos americanos? O sea, nacida aquí, de padres cubanos, e inmigrante aquí en los Estados Unidos, y podemos hacer el programa de la gana que nos da a nosotros hacerlo. O sea,
YouTube es una plataforma para el que sea. So,
I love you guys.
So fucking
to be fair, real, I don't know
it's about you, babe. They don't. Real Latinas don't. Are you even from Latin America? You're gonna sit here and tell me what does Ali speak about that doesn't align with Latino culture? Please explain to me.
Doesn't speak Spanish.
I don't speak Spanish. But listen, Spanish was my first language. My mom had to work 2 jobs because she was a single mom. She didn't make the best choices, so I forgot how to speak Spanish. Yeah. I still dream in Spanish.
Well, look, Maria must be a lonely cat lady. I mean, I have cats too, but I'm not an
asshole. I'm assuming Maria's not married.
Yeah, we're gonna assume Maria's not married. She's pissed off that she's beautiful and young and has it's gonna have a kid, and you are probably just fucking lonely and ugly.
Stevie said that he wants to listen to me on Radio Mambi. I will not be on Radio Mambi tomorrow, but I will be on La Poderosa. For those of you that are unaware,
you don't fucking tell me about these things. That's hilarious. So funny.
So for those of you that are unaware, now that this transition has happened in Radio Mambi, some of the personalities have actually left Radio Mambi and gone into La Poderosa. Mm. So I will be on La Poderosa tomorrow at 4:30 with Jorge. I don't know what his last name is, but I go on often, so check me out tomorrow on La Poderosa at 4:30.
Yeah. Okay, so guys, we are getting to the end of our show, so please, questions. We can do a few minutes of Q&A. I know some people were asking in the comments we were going to have Q&A. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and let me hide user on this channel. She's so annoying. Oh.
You can somebody get... wrote Maria's not even Hispanic because she can't even spell mommies.
Oh, mammy. Oh, well, she said mammy. She might be black. I don't know. She might be mixed. It don't matter.
Is there a lot of black people in Alabama?
I'm in Kansas.
Kansas. Yeah, Kansas. So, Little Rock.
That's Arkansas.
Wow, Linda.
No, there really isn't any. There's not a ton of black people. If there's Latinos, they're Mexican. I didn't even know that. Once you leave Florida, like most of the Latinos are Mexican. I had no idea.
Yes.
I would go trying to find like adobo and Goya stuff, like Puerto Rican seasonings and sazon, and I couldn't like find it. All I could find was Mexican adobo, which I don't even know what that is. It's not the same.
It's like taco sauce.
Yeah, blew my mind. So
we have a question here. Ooh, it says, Lily with a contribution
for tonight. Thank
you so much. First time watching and loving it. Question for Ali: tips on how to land a Gen X husband.
Lily, I have to know how old you are first, but honestly, there's nothing special or impressive. It's just like, if you're wanting a man who's decently established, because, you know, there's no rich men in their 20s or 30s. I mean, if you're really lucky, you'll hit your financial stride late 40s, early 50s. But it sounds like you're looking for a masculine older man. So you just kind of have to be the woman that they're looking for. But you're competing in your geographical location. I pray to God you're not in Miami.
Because
you're not going to make it. But all you got to do is just be badder than the other women around you and get into home cooking.
Well, that's almost impossible here in Miami.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it's Miami, like we gotta lower some standards, honey.
But you know what's crazy? So you know the super, super fine communist that I've shown you?
I came across his pictures the other day of like screenshots
There is the finest, finest. I just try to avoid him so much.
It's such a grudge fudge thing for just, him, Linda.
I can't. You know, I had blocked him on TikTok at one point because I was so traumatized by him.
Well, we don't know if he's a communist
anymore. He's not. He's reformed. He never was, by the way. He was like, oh, I just did whatever. He had a whole Spanish. It doesn't matter. The point is that there's this really, really fine guy on TikTok, right? He's a TikToker.
Would you date him even if he covered up the tattoo?
He's an OnlyFans, so no. No, and I know he, and I know he's, he does, and I know he's very, very nasty on OnlyFans because my gay friend signed up and saw the whole thing. Yeah, like he like jerks off on camera and the whole thing.
Can we
even
talk about that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. You guys will figure it out at some point. I'll help you.
Okay, so wait. But the point of the desgraciado is that the other day he showed his girl.
Oh, he has a girl,
and she is
average looking.
Average at best.
Below average. And everybody was going, I didn't say anything, but I'm like, I just, you know how it is, like straight to the comments I go, straight to the comments, because I want to see what the girls are saying.
Well, that's because he's trash too.
But, right, like, but wait. So all the girls are like, what do you, and even the boys are like, bro, you're too hot for this girl. And then he goes into like response to like a comment on TikTok. He's like, it's not about that. It's not about the looks, about this, it's about that.
He's probably not making that much money. Because like how many?
There's no way he's making any look. There's no way.
So if he's not making that much money, it's like basically if you're broke you just get like a big ugly chick. Like, I'm sorry, but this is America. That's how it is,
right? Another question from Reyna. Hi Reyna, you're the best. I'm about to graduate in May, most likely going to apply for a corporate position. What advice do you have for me that I should know, since this will be my first real job in my 20s? So first of all, which industry
piece of advice that anybody's gonna give you, Reyna, before you go into corporate? Honestly, I've heard somebody that's been a long time in corporate. Keep your personal life and your work life completely separate. Go into work talking about what you do on the weekends, who you hang out with. Don't let anybody know anything about your personal life, because it will be used against you to again reinforce the idea that you're too young, not prepared enough, or whatever it is. So one thing that you'll find from older professionals, and the biggest piece of advice that I can give you as being in corporate, is maintain a distance. I know that sometimes you walk into work and you want to be best friends with the people that you work for.
No.
Absolutely not. Don't make friends. I know that this sounds awful. I've made a lot of good friends in work. It doesn't change that if I could go back and do it all over, I would never use work as a place where I blended the lines between my personal life. Keep work and your personal life separate, and I think that that will help you totally going into corporate.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was the same for me, honestly, and I was really young and I would still drink a lot like during my early 20s and stuff, but I was really careful. Like, I was always very smart, especially because there was a lot of males and I was always like scared of like getting drunk and like, you know, hooking up with somebody or something. And I remember just being very careful about over drinking, especially if you're in an industry like that, like, you know, just people seeing you in uncomfortable situations and sharing a little bit too much, and then that will be used against you. So I never had that.
It's
the same thing in the conservative movement. You know what she said the other day? She's like, I haven't heard, what was it that you said through text, that you haven't heard any scandals about me or anything like that?
Oh yeah, you don't have no scandals.
And it's like, and it's just like, you know, and like even when I've been around like conservative events, when I've traveled, like I never get
what
drunk.
We've experienced down here, you know, we made a terrible mistake, and it's not even something that's like embarrassing or any. We befriended and a fellow activist, a woman, a mom, and she ended up being an operative that has, you know, gone through great lengths to cause chaos in our life. And
women.
Linda and I have talked about this too. Yeah. Even when you're looking at activism, and I love the activist community down here in Miami-Dade. We're doing great work, but I find that the majority of the problems that we've seen, particularly for those of you that haven't gotten involved locally and are just now doing it, is you got to look at the activism as work. You do not, again, blend your personal life with your work. These people are not your friends. This isn't happy hour. This isn't lunch hour. This is work. So you go out there and you do your activism and you leave, because when you're looking at people that are infiltrated, looking to distract you, they're going to do so with personal drama. And it's going to be relationships and breakups and friendships and all of these other things.
I was somebody tried to involve me in a gossip. I won't say who or whatever, but they basically said that I was asking about a certain male because he drove a Corvette, right? Was it a Corvette or a Lambo or something?
Oh, no, he did some Bugatti shit.
Right, some expensive car. And, you know, we made it a point from the very beginning of never hanging around these people to drink, to eat, nothing. And even then, when we took those precautions of not being around certain people, they're still tried to get us involved in their drama.
And it was with the simplest thing, because you think like, oh, well, yeah, I'm not out drinking with men, or I'm not out doing anything. We weren't doing anything bad either. We literally just made another friend. And just like the same advice that I give you with corporate is the same advice I'll give you guys with activism, even if all you're doing is on the digital sphere. This is not a place to make friends. Right. If you do, it's friendships that will develop over time. But that initial idea of how it is that you're used to making friends in your regular in real life does not apply the same in corporate, does not apply the same in the activist world, and can honestly be a detriment to you and can be used against you in the future in both.
So. The other thing too is if you're choosing to go into corporate, I would say for you to start thinking two things. Number one, if you do want to have a traditional marriage, what does that path look like? Right. Because, you can go. And then the second thing that I would say to you, and Ali can, you know, talk about that. But the second thing that I'll say is that you should probably do your job, like never be too passionate. Like that company is never going to be yours, right? So I was very passionate when I was in my corporate job. Not that I thought the company was mine or anything, but I was just really passionate and going above and beyond my expectations and doing so much. And they'll tell you to do that to get a promotion, a raise, whatever. But the reality is that what I saw firsthand was that the people that were getting promotions, raises, or the perks were not the hardest working people. They pretended they worked smart, not hard, and they had the best network relationship. So they were sucking up to the regional manager. They were sucking up to the direct boss, to the boss's boss, to the marketing manager, to this and that. And those were the people that went up the corporate ladder. Yeah, they did their job. They pretended to do more whenever they sent an email because they
always have the red pen ready to criticize somebody else's work. That's how they climb the ladder. Yeah. They become experts at pointing out what everybody else is doing. Right.
So then when they, you know, when I saw that, I was so disappointed because I felt like I was actually doing my job and also going above and beyond. And then I see someone else, which at that point, honestly, that was my last straw. And I was like, I'm out of here. And thank God that happened.
Dying with this comment from Freedom Variant. She's like, I disagree with Bella's advice. I agree with Ali. Ladies, date your boss.
Oh my gosh. I am so glad you said that. How old was this young woman? She was 22?
The one
that just asked the question.
The one that just asked the question.
We're not entirely sure.
Reyna, she's in her 20s, but Freedom Variant, I'm not sure how old she is.
Yeah, so like Reyna asked the question?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Reyna, seriously, if you're going into corporate, like there is nothing wrong with dating your boss, but listen, be smart. Look, you know, you can get another job at another place that's the same line of work and then start dating your boss who you've been flirting with for a year.
That makes more sense.
You know what I mean? That's what I did. I got out of the military first because if you do it at the same time, it's drama.
Problematic. That's what Bella was saying.
It's problematic. Right? So, you identify, you know, maybe you go to lunch a couple times. It's nothing too much, right? But you have an intent, right? And then you just find the same job somewhere else and you try to pursue it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. It doesn't matter. Like you're young. You have some time to do this stuff and to figure it out. I would take full advantage. And I would say quit drinking as soon as you can.
Ooh, that's a good
one
too. You
know, either be a one drink kind of person for any social gathering or just don't drink at all. Mm. I wish that I had quit drinking a lot younger. Yeah. It's been a total game changer. Obviously I'm pregnant, but I stopped drinking before I got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have like made my life so much better. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, go find you a high value man. Escape. You need an escape plan.
I agree. And just make sure that as you do get older, you start thinking about, you're 24 to 25, you're not married. If you do want to get married and have kids by a certain age, you start thinking about that when you're in corporate.
And don't think that corporate is going to make up for your life because it doesn't.
They'll dump you. You'll work at the same company for
10 years, work your ass off, give that company your best years, and then an acquisition will happen and they'll lay you off and nobody would care.
It happened to my boss,
Just lived it. I used to be the person that stayed at work until 9, 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. I would come in on the weekends. I would take work with me on vacation. And it never... there was never a payout. It's like an acquisition would happen, and then it's like, well, you know, we don't need you anymore. I didn't go through a lot of layoffs. Yeah. Usually it was me who left. But again, there's no reward at the end of that.
Yeah.
So always make the distinction between, you know, you got 24 hours in a day. 8 of those hours are to sleep. 8 of those hours are supposed to be for work, and it's 8 hours for you to do whatever it is that you want. If you live somewhere in Miami, you're already killing 2 hours at minimum of those in traffic. So realistically, you have 6 hours of your life to do and invest in yourself, in your family. Mm-hmm. If you're taking that and you're spending additional time at work, then you're not maintaining a balanced life. So that's also incredibly important advice that I can give somebody stepping into corporate, is to really make that space for your personal life and then what it is that you're doing at work. Don't be defined by what you do professionally.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman, as a man, it's a different story.
Don't you feel like, and my mom said this too, because, you know, fixing the house, don't you feel that now that you're a stay-at-home wife, you're going to be able to, like, because being a housewife is a full-time job. I don't care what anybody says. Like, attending to the house, feeding your husband, cleaning the house, being the homemaker, it's a job. And now you're going to have a second job with a baby.
Oh, yeah. Right? It's a real job.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be a hard job. Don't you feel like that's just the way that things should be? Like, I see my girls who are struggling with, like, corporate. And it's not that, you know, it's not that they don't want to be housewives, is that they have to because of the economy, and like, you need two incomes and, you know, they can't move to like a fucking poor state to like live on one, you know, basic salary. But it's just like, they're stressed out, you know?
Well, the thing about professionalism is you can go back after your kids are independent and self-sufficient. You know, I'm not going to be, I don't even know what that would look like, but child rearing, the sun sets on that one day. A lot of women get caught up on that. Young women, they don't have the foresight or the wisdom to understand the seasonality of life. Yeah. So if you're having your kids pretty close in age, you can space them out if you'd like, sure. But still, like, one day they won't be living with you anymore, and you're going to be alone in your house with your husband. So, and that can be, you know, your second act, where you get back in the workforce, where you pursue your passion projects. But you can pursue your passion projects while you have kids too. Don't get it twisted. It's just better, easier for you and everybody if you do it from home. You know, like my YouTube channel, like, it's supplemental income, but were it ever to be very successful, that's money for my kids. You know what I mean? Like, it's the message, and the message is good. And if it comes with, my husband says I don't need to make money, but if I did, you know, that's for our babies. And that's the way to do it.
That's
like,
what the Quran says.
You can go up, like, on that Muslim, like, algorithm.
Inshallah.
Yeah. All right. But it does feel like the way it's supposed to be, because I was an undergrad. I went for social work. Then it was like woke. I was like, you're not helping anybody. Y'all are just crazy white liberals. Like, these solutions suck. I went to anthropology to escape wokeism, found more wokeism. But I used to work wokeism really hard.
Really.
Yeah. I worked really hard to get straight A's, you know? But when I stopped trying, I would get B's, because if I would put my heart into it, I was telling them who I was, what I thought. I was conservative, right? Socially conservative, those of you out there who are not really trying to be conservative. But, you know, when I make my husband a good meal and he's happy and he's satisfied and he says thank you or tells me how good it is, that feels better than any essay, any grade I ever got.
Or when he gets home and he's like, oh, the house smells great, it's like,
I feel like
I'm doing the right thing, right? Like, I'm prioritizing the right things. My husband gets to come home to a clean house. There's no better feeling than when he gets home and, like, dinner's already done. Like, the house smells nice and the dogs are behaving. I don't have kids, but I have dogs. You gotta behave. You know, it's like, it feels like a nice contribution to be able to do that. Or, like, even like the silly things, like, sometimes, like, you know, doing his laundry, like, knowing that he's got, like, things like that. I don't know. They are rewarding.
It feels good, because your man feels like a man.
Like, I've never heard my mom be, like, upset that, like, she didn't, like, make $1 million or something. I've never heard her, like, oh, I wish I would have, like, been the freaking regional manager for L'Oreal. She used to work back in the day. You know, she's never said that. And I was like, I mean, my grandma's a little bit different. I was telling her, you know, my grandma, my grandfather, like, cheated on her. Like, they're like, now she's like old.
High value man still, problems.
Like, right. Like, she's still like, you know, like, pissed off about it from like 100 years ago and shit and whatnot. And and then she's like, I wish I would have done more when I was younger. And, you know, I wish I was your age and, you know, this whole thing. But I find that most stay-at-home wives, like, I saw Bernadine in the chat earlier. I don't think she's here anymore, but I love her. I love her account. Mm-hmm. I love what she's done with it. She used to be a lot more political. I'm glad she got out of it because now she's able to help women with her, you know, you've seen the stories from like nasty feminists. Like these girls had like shaved head, nasty armpit hair, like were doing drugs, were like, you know, some of them were atheists or Satanists, and they changed their lives, you know, through the Bible, through femininity, and now they're married and they have kids and they're like, it's what I would call a success story.
Oh, that's yeah. Honestly how I feel, you know. I feel like it's so weird. I mean, obviously it makes me emotional. This is actually my second pregnancy. It's going to be our first child, but I feel like I'm about to get the promotion of a lifetime. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm on my purpose. This is what I wanted to do with my life. And my husband is a great architect of my life. He builds the world that I live in. Oh, we have the house. We have the dog. He obviously got me pregnant. So he was involved with that too. And, you know, the money he makes turns into food and then the baby grows from the food that I eat. So it's just like a really amazing life to have with somebody that's really romantic, you know, and I'm really happy that I figured it out because it's what I always wanted. I think I would have preferred to have been a mom younger, like at 24, but there's just things I didn't know, but it happened the way that it was supposed to. You know, I'm 27. I'll probably have the baby once I'm 28, but if it didn't happen the way that it did, then I wouldn't have met my husband and he wouldn't have been the father of my child. Right.
There's
so,
a reason for stuff like that.
We had a funny comment.
Ooh, let's do it.
Adriana Mesa says, imagine thinking waiting on a man hand and foot is your greatest accomplishment.
What does she mean by imagine, hand and foot? Is that like an expression?
And foot is like when you do everything for your man. And it's like,
I love cooking. Like, I don't,
why am I going to feel bad about that, Adriana? Like, I have a lot of accomplishments. I have a career. I'm a business owner. I've had viral content. I've had a platform.
Passport bros.
Things aren't as rewarding to me as the feeling of being home with my husband and with my family.
It's just like,
and
I want to homeschool my kids.
I do feel incredibly accomplished by that. And I feel incredibly accomplished that I have a nice love story with my husband and that we support each other. And I'm sorry if you don't understand that. I'm sure that you have a really wonderful career and good for you. I had one too. My fulfillment, however, I find that my deepest fulfillment comes from just falling into that gender role and being a good wife.
I mean, as someone, like, I had to set up in corporate. Dude, I had a car. I didn't pay for gas for 5 years. Heineken changed my car every 2 years. I had a brand new car. I had a corporate credit card. I could go to Ultra. I could do it, everything. I hung out with celebrities. I had a good salary. I would literally walk away from it again because I don't think that's an accomplishment. You know, I don't. I literally rather have my little store and like no one bothers me. I don't have to fucking deal with bitches or men trying to freaking sexually harass me.
Yeah, that wasn't, like, I wouldn't trade any of my corporate, like I wouldn't go back to corporate. I don't care what you think. Being in like management and leadership positions, like I did that. I got the recognition.
Yes,
I got the awards. I got flown out to the locations. I did all of that. I spent 2 years of my life
in Puerto Rico.
2 years in Puerto Rico, 2 years in California, and 1 year in LA. I did it all while I was, and I got a lot of recognition. And then I grew the page, and we did, like, I've had many accomplishments in my life. But yeah, there's nothing that I'm prouder of than the role that I play at home and the fact that I have a marriage, that we work on, that things got hard, that we figured it out. Like, all of those are great accomplishments to me.
No, I agree. What a pick me. What are you going to do? Like, take your little placa that says you sold 1,000 things? Like,
no, you know what I keep that's hilarious to me?
I sold like 20,000 beers.
You know what? I have a bag of t-shirts, and it's all of the t-shirts from like the corporate runs.
Yeah.
Of all the years that I was in corporate. So it's like, you see my entire corporate career spanned out into this bag of like 20 plus t-shirts, and it's all the t-shirts that I had like related to it. And it's always like a constant reminder.
Yeah.
Dude, I love corporate. Like, I don't even have a husband, and like, I love doing home stuff. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, well,
I don't get it. Okay. It's so weird. Like, it's so strange. Yeah.
So, like, you guys have heard pick me, right?
Yeah.
So the black.
I don't get it.
You don't know what a pick me is?
Mm-mm. Pick me's are the girls that only say things because they want the guys to think they're cool.
Oh, and then,
I thought it was a segment
me,
in your
me.
Show. Yeah. Like,
No. So it's like, ooh, pick me, right. Notice me, men, choose me. Or, you know, like, Linda's ugly. Obviously, I'm prettier. You know, they say catty things about them, about other women, or they'll pretend to like video games or pretend to like guns or men's movies just to get picked, right? But supposedly the black version of a pick me is called pick Misha. So what would be the Latina version of a pick me? Pick media? No?
Pick what? Over here in Miami, we got so many Cubans, and all our names are with Y, like Yanis Ladies, Eunice Lacey's, Jessica, Yesenia, like
Yunawi.
Like, it's all Y. It definitely has to be a pick Y.
Yeah, that all comes from the you know, that all comes from the Russians.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, but I also know that Yuznavi is actually U.S. Navy. Navy.
Yes. Really?
So U.S.
That is
Navy,
so ghetto.
And the Cuban, yes. No, you don't understand.
You have
the
no
Cuban.
Idea. You have no idea. Welcome to Miami, bro.
The other day there was this news that was like, I don't know what city in America was like, such and such city, like Seattle or whatever, has finally approved like animal sacrifice for religious reasons. And I'm like, Miami has walked into the chat. Miami has entered the chat. People here, like, you go find freaking dead chickens from these crazy people. But
yeah. I think the thing is, too, is like, this is what people want, right? So, you know, because I haven't been around Latinas in a long time, which, thank God, maybe I need to get like a timeshare or something. But, you know, I haven't been around women that just talk about serving their men. And for my aunts, all the stuff that they do, they will still sit down and cook a meal for their man. But it's always like some other type of race of women trying to,
but
like,
that always, that does go back what you just said, because that also has nothing to do with being a man. Like, Linda's Linda's not married. She's single, but Linda still enjoys. There's a big part of Latina culture is like, keeping up with your home, cleaning your home, staying on top of that. Like, all of that is very big. Cooking, like, that's very big in our culture.
You can't have a dirty house and be Latina. No. Like, people will talk smack.
No way.
You can't cook.
I can't even work and not have a dirty house. Like, I literally need to, like, make sure
every single night to relax. My relaxing time right before bed is that I'll go on TikTok and I'll go on Clean Talk for, like, 30 minutes to, like, clean my mental palate. And it's so relaxing and satisfying for me.
I want
to
do this. Yeah, so anyway, this is what the passport bros are looking for, so y'all can make fun of us if you want. No, we're considered desirable.
Bros? What are passport bros?
They go to Colombia and they find wives.
They also go to the Philippines. Yeah. Okay, don't exclude the Asian women.
Okay. Okay, I got it. They're going to other countries to find women.
Women that are comfortable doing this stuff.
You know, this
I promise you that if you're an American citizen going into Colombia, there's plenty of women, beautiful women at that, that are going to weigh on you hand and foot and don't need to work and will give you the best sex of your life and all of these other things, and you'll never have to worry about it.
You guys know that I was in Colombia for like 3 weeks visiting my family, and I was going to a gym there, like one of the best gyms, and I loved it. And I was like texting like Bella and... Mm-hmm. My friend Josue as well about the girls there, which like literally like every single girl there, even the cougars, like the youngest ones, the older ones, like everyone there was hot as shit, fit,
was
working
Linda
out. Like literally, I found them all on Instagram and I sent them all to Bella, and she's like,
but
how
the
hell?
How did you find these people? She's like, I looked in the check-in of the gym. I'm like, lunatic. She's like, they all look so good.
So good, bro. I was like staring at them like a lesbian. I was like, damn, like fine.
That's how I feel in Miami.
Yeah, and like, no, like Colombia's even better. And so I see this white guy and I'm like, okay, American, you know? So I go up to the guy, I'm like, American? Because that's like my favorite thing to do, like seeing a white guy. Like, American? And he's like, yeah, I'm like Florida, Texas, great, what's
me
up?
Too.
Anyways, the guy was there because his girlfriend lives there, you know? And we started talking about like, I was like, what are you doing here? Do you work, whatever? He's like, oh, my girlfriend lives there. Like, I go back and forth, and I guess he's like giving her papers. But there's a lot of guys that do that because they want the woman that is going to stay home, that is going to prepare the warm meal, that is going to massage his feet at the end of the night. They want that. That's why they travel to these countries, and they're much more beautiful. They're fit. They're nice.
They're submissive.
They're pleasant. They're submissive. And this is what they know. And they're willing to do that because they want papers, because they want to come here. And they're not going to leave you. Like, once they're
the
here and they have kids.
Will the Passport Bros sponsor us? Can we get sponsored by the Passport Bros to do matchmaking?
The Manosphere says that the immigrant women, they leave. And I think that that's true. But I don't, like, how many women you know married a white man, came over here, they still together, like, over 10 years?
None, because most of the people that I know that came together were their partners.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. So I don't, I just know, you know, I just know about it, but I don't know if they leave.
It depends on the situation that they have. Like, if I think if they're only marrying that person for the sake of papers, then like,
the guy has to have.
But like, if the guy, if they're coming over here from another country and he has money and he's providing and he's got the house and they're kind of like stepping into that role, I don't think they leave because they got a nice setup. They usually leave if they're trying to upgrade that situation because what they walked, because again, culturally, it is expected that the man is going to take care and that the man is going to provide. And your job is to continue to look good and take care of the home and do all these other things.
Yeah.
So particularly because of that culture shock, when they come over here and the American man doesn't know how to keep, doesn't keep up with that, they show up weak in that dominant male role, then that's when you'll find that the women then end up. But if they feel taken care of, like their needs are taken care of, I don't think that they leave as often as when they feel it.
I don't think that's I don't think that's a thing unless, again, it's the what she just said.
Yeah.
But guys, we have gone on for 2 hours.
Oh, we did.
It was a long podcast.
Sorry. Amazing. Thank you so much, Ali, for being here today. Yeah. And guys, don't forget about our new sponsor, Sentry H2O. We're going to
bring up the banner again, Angel.
Bring up the banner.
Bring up the banner, guys.
Once again, Patriot owned. This is a two-step under the sink system. Gets rid of fluoride, arsenic. And by the way, they're talking about putting lithium in the water now because everyone is crazy. And so I just heard that on the Candace Owens show the other day. So again, with the code MPL10, you're able to get 10% off on top of the fact that it's already a very affordable under the sink, easy to install system for $279.
And so, also send us pictures if you guys do end up purchasing.
Tag us.
We may have a little something to send over to you guys, but tag us when you get those pictures of you if you purchased the product. And thank you guys, as usual, for supporting us and for hanging out with us. And Ali, thank you for coming in.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sad. I don't want to leave. Okay,
two more hours.
We have to do some more stuff before I go.
Yeah, we can do lives on Insta.
Yeah, we can do a few.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Have a good one.